Welcome to a special episode of the CFO Show. I'm Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. As a CFO, I've always believed that the best leaders are lifelong learners. Today, we're going to explore the books that have shaped my career and those of other financial leaders. I'm thrilled to share some of my go-to reads, the ones that have truly influenced how I navigate the world of finance and leadership. We've also tapped into the collective wisdom of our past guests, creating a must-read list for leadership excellence. Whether you're aiming for the C-suite or looking to sharpen your leadership or business acumen, this episode is packed with literary gems that could be game changers for you. So grab a notebook and get ready to expand your reading list. My first book is about leadership. It is The Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. She talks about how the best leaders make everyone else smarter. You can choose to be either a multiplier or a diminisher. In the book, she explores why some leaders drain capability and their intelligence from their teams, while others amplify it to produce better results, multiplying the impact of their teams. I think about this sometimes and occasionally look at myself in the mirror and question, am I currently being a diminisher or am I being a multiplier in how I'm leading my team? The second book on my list is about building a business. That book is The High Growth Handbook by Elad Gil. This one was recommended to me by some former coworkers. It's about building a startup from 10 to 10,000 people. Elad Gil is an experienced global technology executive, a serial entrepreneur, and an angel investor. And he's worked with many high-growth technology companies, including Airbnb, Twitter, Google, Stripe, and Square, as they've grown from very small companies into global enterprises. He has identified common patterns and challenges in high-growth situations. The book provides an easy-to-understand playbook for navigating those challenges and scaling high-growth startups. In the book, he covers a wide range of topics, including the role of the CFO, how to manage and build a board, recruiting and overseeing an executive team, culture, organizational structure, internationalization, late-stage funding, and M&A, just to name a few. It's informed by interviews from some of the biggest names in Silicon Valley, including Reid Hoffman from LinkedIn and Mark Andreessen from Andreessen Horowitz. The High Growth Handbook presents crystal clear guidance for navigating the most complex challenges that confront leaders and operators in high growth startups. And what I love about this book is how packed it is. From frameworks for building a company, the number of insights that you glean from so many different companies' experiences, and the variety of topics. It's the kind of book that makes you feel like you're getting 10 books in one. Truly a handbook that I reference again and again as I face different challenges along the scale-up journey. My third book is about personal growth. It's called The Beauty of Discomfort, How What We Avoid is What We Need by Amanda Lang. It explores things like, why do some people drive change while others are blindsided by it? Why are some people more easily able to adapt and thrive? They explore how some degree of discomfort is actually inherently good for us. It can spur us on, pushing us to test our own limits. Learning to tolerate and then embrace discomfort is actually the foundation for change, both for individuals and businesses alike. And that actually starting to become comfortable with that discomfort won't just make us more resilient and successful, it will lead to a much happier life. I think about this book a lot in my personal life. As a mom, I think about how do I apply this with my kids? Am I building enough resilience in them? It is so tempting to want to jump in and always clear the path and make life easier. Much harder to stand back and sometimes let them fail. But it's actually in some of those failures and learnings and having them lean into those uncomfortable situations that they're going to grow and develop and build that resiliency. In my professional journey, this lesson has been applicable to me in starting this podcast. This was entirely new to me and was definitely outside of my comfort zone. But I had a team that was encouraging me to lean in, and I pushed through that discomfort to give it a try. And I've been learning so much. I learn every single time that I speak to a new guest. I get to step out of my typical day-to-day and do something different, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it. Now that we've explored some of my top picks, it's time to expand our literary horizons even further. We've compiled a special montage featuring recommendations from our past CFO show guests. These financial leaders share not just their favorite books, but also how these reads have impacted their professional journeys. What has been the most impactful book that you've ever read?
On the professional side, I would say it's a book called Conscious Business by Fred Kaufman, who's a leadership and culture consultant that has been operating with a lot of kind of large companies around the world, including Google, including LinkedIn, Microsoft. And so this book, Conscious Business, speaks about kind of how do you bring your true self and how do you bring your own values into the business. So it speaks about really core integrity. It speaks about notion of a little bit what we just discussed about, like, it's not about being right, right? It talks about a notion of success beyond success. What is true success? And so success is not necessarily being right. It's not necessarily the way we measure through metrics and performance. As an individual, it's also winning is being aligned to your own core value and bringing them to work and make the environment around you just a better place for everybody, right? So there's notion of communication in the book. There's the way of, you know, you engage. There's a way of managing conflict. There's a way of, and so that's been really impactful.
Thinking Fast and Slow is a very significant book that I read recently. I love the book. It tells you really how to think and what not to think and how things are shaped by the psyche and how you can impact the psyche of people in a very significant way. So this is a great book. Highly recommended if you haven't read it.
There's a great book that was written 15 years ago, made into a movie called Moneyball. And I highly recommend Moneyball. One, it's an incredible read. It's really fast. It's really, really interesting. But at its core, it's about baseball and it's about the success of an underdog. But what it's really about is changing how folks or teams or organizations address problems and opportunities in a way that, you know, tweaks the model, allows them to look at an opportunity differently than has been looked at for many, many years. Force yourself to look at things in a different way. So that's one of my real takeaways from the book. The other takeaway is, you know, in the book, there's a aging star and he's at the end of his career and he learns how to realize what his value is at this stage of his career is different than what it was perhaps 10 years prior. And by him changing how he added value to the team was better. And the takeaway is teams can achieve a lot if folks really are willing to check their ego at the door, to understand where their value is on their team at that time. And when teams do that, great things can happen. Underdogs can become the big winners. And that was my takeaway from Moneyball.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
Underdogs can become the big winners. And that was my takeaway from Moneyball.
One book that really stuck with me was in the last probably 5 years was called The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. And what I loved about that book is it, you know, every organization struggles with being really, really clear on strategy, understanding when to zig and versus sag, minimizing churn for your employees and knowing how to hold the leadership accountable for when they're actually the problem.
That doesn't happen, does it?
which is sadly, you know, quite often. I really loved how that book kind of laid that out, because you've got to, you know, we have leaders for a reason. And so it has to start at the top. And then it really talks about at the end of the day, and it kind of comes back to something I said earlier, it really is about being clear on what you're doing, communicating the heck out of it. When you do have to make a change, make sure that's communicated, the why, the how, and what the impact of that is going to be, and then re-communicate again, you know, what you're going after. And we can, that sounds so simple. I think it's actually one of the hardest things to do, especially in a growing and evolving organization. So I love that book for that reason.
There was a book that we were forced to read. I was not excited about it. So a new CEO came into one of the companies I was at and kind of dictated, I want all senior management team to read this book. And, you know, I'm thinking, I thought I was out of school. No one tells me what to read. I read whatever I want. But I read the book and unbelievable. I loved it. And it was actually something we could apply. And I've applied it to pretty much every company I've been in since. It was called Crossing the Chasm by Geoffrey Moore. And it really targets startup technology companies. And the chasm was, how do you get from the pioneers and early adopters kind of to what he called Main Street, but really the early majority and the late majority. Late majority of people who are risk averse and they're going to join in later. But the early majority of people, you know, they're willing to work with a new product, but their needs are different than the early adopters, who are a lot more tolerant of, you know, beta software and everything else as you're just developing things and easier to sell to, and they're pioneers and they're willing to take a chance. But how do you get from there, which many companies get stuck from and never cross that chasm, how do you get to the early majority, kind of the mainstream customers? And, you know, I could tell you the secret in 2 seconds, then you won't have to buy the book. But, you know, the concept I remember from there, and I think he labeled it later, I don't know if it had a name in this first book, there's been other books since. And the concept was the bowling alley concept. So you don't just look at it as one big market. You identify each of the pins you have to knock off. You know, whether you're identifying customers by their particular needs, their industry, their size, their geography. What do I need to do with my product, you know, software or service or whatever it may be, or a physical product? What do I need to do to address that market segment and then have all the supporting materials? Do I need to add features to the product? Do I need different packaging, pricing? How do I target each of those pins and knock them off? And that works very well. And that's what we do. And it surprised me that for many years, you know, software companies have been reluctant to verticalize it all, which is one of the ways to do that. But they're just reluctant to do that because they don't want to lose the appeal of cross-industry, anyone could buy me. I think they're figuring that out now. There's a way to balance that. But also depends what stage in life you are. But to get from that early adopter to the next stage, you have to offer something that targets each of those individual markets because they are separate markets. And then you do them one by one and you knock them off. And then you're successful in reaching that early majority.
I'm going to point to one that's been on my mind lately, the book Amp It Up by Frank Slootman. There's one notion in the book that I just find myself coming back to over and over again, and that's that execution, I'm probably butchering this, I'm not saying it the way that he reflected in the book, but execution trumps strategy every day of the week. You know, a brilliant strategy that doesn't get executed against is a failure, but a scrappy execution in the absence of a strategy is still a success. So I will always over-index on execution over strategy.
Tony Fadell's recent book on building, you know, not just within startups, but within larger companies is one that actually left a huge impression on me. Not just because he talks about, you know, building a Nest, which is one of his big successes, but also building, you know, within Apple, within various places. He worked on the original iPhone. And it actually focuses on some of the pieces of working across companies, working with partners, things that many other 0-to-1 books don't really talk about. So I recommend you check it out.
The most recent book that I've read that was the most impactful was a book called The First 90 Days. And that was a great book because I haven't really had a new job in 11 years. And so coming into a new role, really embracing a role and figuring out what you need to do in that first few months of a role, that really helped kind of set my mind right. So to not take everything on and try to overpromise and underdeliver, but really understand what you're here to do and how to set your mind and set your priorities straight to really set yourself up for success in the long term.
The 15 Inviolable Laws of Growth.
And what is it about that book that really resonates with you?
How he breaks down every single law, like quote unquote law, but how he breaks down every law in a meaningful way, like a purposeful way, and not just, you know, some self-help books are like, you have to do this or you won't become this. And it's not that at all. It's very much just, you know, you should learn these different techniques and these different ways of being, because it's about being a good human, not just a good business owner or a good leader, you know, but being a good human. And so you can kind of take it into different aspects of your life.
I would highly recommend Who Moved My Cheese. So it sounds really weird and elementary, but sometimes you just need elementary things to read as far as the basics. And it really talks about organizational change, right? It talks about how do people deal with change? How do people accept change? What do you do with change? What does change mean? And I'm telling you, it is the smallest, easy read book that somebody gave to me. So it may not sound like I am this big literary person, but if you said to, like, you're asking me that question, it's the first book that comes to mind. It's Who Moved My Cheese? So I would highly recommend, if you haven't read it, it's as basic, and it's a book that anybody in your organization can read. You know, it's anybody in your family, it's your kids or your nieces or anything, because I think you can apply it. It's not like this big technical book or anything like that. It's enjoyable.
What a great list. I hope you're as excited about these reads as I am. Remember, being a great CFO, or any leader for that matter, is about continual growth, fresh perspectives, and the willingness to learn from others. I want to thank all of our guests for sharing their literary inspirations. And a big thank you to you, our audience. Your drive to learn and grow is what makes this show possible. Don't forget to check out our show notes for the full list of book recommendations. And if you've got a favorite business or leadership book that wasn't mentioned today, we'd love to hear about it. Drop us a line on our social media channels or leave a comment on our website at thecfoshowpodcast.com. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.